Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as those of you that have been here through the summer know, we have been on this journey called Between Sundays, and we have watched as Jesus encountered ordinary people going about their ordinary lives, days in the street, days of healing and ministry, days of forgiveness and grace. And we've come to the end of that journey for the time being, although that journey never ends, because Christ now journeys with you and with me, and he meets us in those streets, and he heals us, and he speaks to us, and he encourages us. But now, for this next couple of months, I want to talk about what it means to be the church, what it means to be the body of Christ, the community of the beloved, the family of faith. In other words, what it means to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this feels like important work to me in this day and age where there are 1.5 million witches in the world, self-proclaimed, and only 1.4 million Presbyterians. True fact. I didn't make that up. And I warn you now, if we're as honest as I hope that we will be in this endeavor, like that rich young man that encountered Jesus and came to him, we are liable to hit some painful patches on this journey. They can't be avoided. They shouldn't be avoided. But let's begin where we must. Let's begin in prayer, and let me pray for us, and let me borrow some words from the Apostle Paul. Because this is truly a prayer that if I were this gifted, I would have written. This is truly a prayer that I have prayed for you often. So let me share it now. Because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now let's start this journey with some fundamental questions. Start with this one. What is the church? What is the church? Whose idea was it? And what is its mission in the world? We need to wrestle with those. We need to get some clarity on those if we're to have purpose in our gathering here. And so I want to turn now to a book that has meant a great deal to me, at least a section of a book that's meant a great deal to me throughout my entire ministry and even before. It's the PCUSA Book of Order. The first chapter in that book is called The Foundations of the Church, and it is among the most powerful, truthful, and glorious writings in the history of the church. So let me share with you to begin, just to get our feet on the ground, some of the fundamental affirmations of the Presbyterian Church, which have been around for a couple of hundred years in various forms. Here's the first one. The mission of God in Christ gives shape and substance to the life and work of the church. The mission of God in Christ gives shape and substance to the life and work of the church. In Christ, the church participates in God's mission for the transformation of creation and humanity by proclaiming to all people, the good news of God's love, offering to all people the grace of God at font and table, and calling all people to discipleship in Christ. Now, drawing directly from the Ephesians text that Louise read to you a few minutes ago, this statement, this affirmation continues, saying God has put all things under the lordship of Jesus Christ and has made Christ head of the church. Let me repeat that. Has made Christ the head of the church, which is his body. The church's life and mission are a joyful participation in Christ's ongoing life and work. Beautiful, majestic, truthful stuff. Things that we need to take deeply into here. Christ alone is the head of the church. And in sum, this section of the Book of Order concludes, Christ gives to the church all the gifts necessary to be his body. The church strives to demonstrate these gifts in its life as a community in the world. The church is to be a community of faith, entrusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life. The church is to be a community of witness, pointing beyond itself. That's something we want to look at today. Pointing beyond itself through word and work to the good news of God's transforming grace in Christ Jesus, its Lord. So, with all that out there, we hear that the mission of the church is not to protect and perpetuate itself in whatever form it presently exists. The mission of the church, rather, is to point beyond itself, to borrow those words, to the presence of its Lord in its midst, and to reveal and respond to his dynamic and evolving call to being. That's what we are to be about. That, ladies and gentlemen, is our work. That is our calling. That is our purpose, to point beyond the church to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is doing in the world. And this means that the church's hope is not found in its own vision, no matter how visionary it may be, and that the church's hope is not found in the skills of its leaders, no matter how gifted they may be, and the church's hope is not found in the accomplishments of its past, no matter how well it has done. The church's hope is not found in the strength of its balance sheet, no matter how carefully it has been guarded and maintained. Nor is it found in the beauty of its property, the thoroughness of its plans, or the cleverness of its programs, no matter how impressive and or inspiring they may be. The church's hope is found quite simply in the faithfulness with which it follows its Lord's leading. Period. Everything we are, everything we hope for, everything that we aspire to hangs on that one thing: how closely we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To borrow again, as I have so often, those words from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we must collectively fix our eyes on the person of Jesus Christ and put all of our theologies, all of our ideas, all of our plans aside. Wherever he goes, we need to go. Wherever he doesn't go, we need to stay out of there. I would remind you that Jesus says to us, apart from me, you can do nothing. If we are to vary from following him, we will be powerless. In contrast, the Apostle Paul tells us, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. A couple of pretty clear things for us to remember. But in this time and place, where the church, and let's be specific here, our church, can be seen by statistical measures as being in decline, it's easy to lose sight of all this, isn't it? It's easy to panic. And it's tempting to begin to worship the institution, to see the curation and preservation of the church as a means and an end all unto itself, to give in to fear, to cling anxiously to our own strategies, even though our spiritual eyes may see more clearly and our hearts actually know better. It's kind of like this. I want to show you something now. I want to say that it's kind of like this, and you'll figure it out.
Let's hide in the attic.
No, in the basement. Why can't we just get in the running car?
Are you crazy? Let's hide behind the chainsaws.
Smart. Okay.
If you're in a horror movie, you make poor decisions. That's what you do.
I'm being quiet. Breathing on me.
If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
Head for the cemetery. It's kind of like that, isn't it? Like the kids in this video, panic tends to strip us of good judgment, not to mention faithful behaviors. A crisis hits, as they always do in the life of the church. We could go back and tick some off on our fingers here amongst ourselves. Tensions rise and people begin to talk, and then they begin to plan. They begin to defend. There we are. Well, if we do this, so-and-so will leave, and we can't afford to lose anybody. Oh, but if we don't do this, so-and-so will leave, and we can't afford to lose anybody. Doubts rise. I don't think our leadership is listening. Or the ever-popular, they aren't being transparent. Whoever in the world they are. And it's this type of fear-driven thinking which tears at the fabric of faith, creates confusion in the community, and leads to decisions crafted by human engineering. What will we do to save our church, we ask. Let's hide in the attic, someone screams. No, in the basement, someone else calls out. Let's hide in the chainsaws, cries yet another voice. Well, why don't we just get in the running car? Why don't we just surrender our fears and look beyond the church to its Lord who assures our future? He is the running car. Calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. How reassuring can he be? He is the running car. Let's get in. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing that we need to remember. It's not our church. It was never our church. It has always been Christ's church. And for that, we can thank God. Because our wisdom, our love, and our engineering would never be enough to save so unlikely a proposition as the body of Christ, the community of the beloved, the family of faith. We are simply not up to that task. But Christ's wisdom, Christ's love, and Christ's engineering, that's a very different story. Let's remember, we're talking about the one imaginative enough to create the starry heavens, imaginative enough to create the human heart, imaginative enough to create the Venezuelan poodle moth. Imaginative, of course, to create the popiel pocket fisherman. I rest my case. He's certainly seen stranger things than us. Christ is still Lord. He was Lord in the beginning. He will be Lord at the end. Even now, even here, he is Lord. Especially here, he is Lord. As he prays for the church, Paul speaks of the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe. And then he concludes, and God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. No matter how we may love her, the church is not our salvation. Our hope lies in Christ. Our hope lies beyond the church. in the one and only one, who is her Lord. It's to him we must look, and it is him we must follow. Amen. Let us take a moment in silence now and listen to what the Spirit may be saying to each of our spirits.